Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler, Nick, and D-Mac.
Second down. Lawrence has still got it. He's going to stand up. Touchdown. And the Clemson Tigers draw first blood in the Superdome. Burrow from the pocket. Launches to the end zone. Touchdown chase. And LSU takes its first lead tonight. Gets it out quickly. Touchdown. Thaddeus Moss just standing still. ETN again. Touchdown, Clemson.
After review, personal foul, targeted. Defense number 47.
Skalski
47 is
disbelief.
Qualified for the remainder of the game.
Burrow's got time. Launching for the end zone. Jump ball. Touchdown, Terrence Marshall. As they say in the Bayou, there's it a bon temps relay. Let the good times roll. LSU sits on the throne of college football.
What were your takeaways from last night?
I want a quarterback like that. That was my main takeaway, to be honest with you. What would it be like to be the team that gets hope like that? Like, we're like flirting with hope, you know? Like we're sort of stretching a little bit for hope. It's authentic and it's real, and I feel optimistic about Drew Locke, but, you know, there's a little bit of convincing going on. I want to feel the optimism that it would be like, I'm not advocating to go get a new quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I want to feel the optimism for this franchise that a quarterback like that can provide. And so I'm thinking to myself, well, how do you do that? You know, what do we need to get excitement like that? You got to find a way in free agency to address some needs so that you can go sexy in the draft.
Mm.
That was really where I went.
Go sexy in the draft. Well, I tell you what, watching the game last night, I was definitely inspired because there are a lot of NFL draft-ready guys who play in that game. And I look at the holes that the Broncos have on both sides of the ball, and I said, well, that game provided somewhat of a glimpse of what the Broncos could do if they had key players at key positions. And knowing as though you have a new offensive coordinator in Pat Shurmur, you can help but think, watching LSU wide receivers, right, Justin Jefferson, that if you had a guy with that skill set, right, like, or Chase, who had a tremendous game last night beating Clemson's DBs, if you had receivers like that in a three wide receiver system, now you're talking about being able to compete with Kansas City.
You think Drew Locke's capable of delivering the ball like Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I really do. But that starts with having adequate protection and being able to go through all of your reads. And, I mean, when I look at Burrow, I mean, he's an anomaly. But Drew Locke still has those capabilities if you have weapons, because to me, that's what it boils down to. I don't care about what the scheme is, but if you don't have those dogs outside, those wide receivers that can make plays for you, those impact players, it's going to be difficult no matter who you are at the quarterback position.
Maybe. I hope so. I hope that he can do it. All I know is I've never witnessed anything like that in history. I've never seen any performance like that in the history of the NCAAs over the longevity of the season. And so can I tell you he can do that? I can't. I mean, I feel hopeful. I feel optimistic. But no way am I going to sit here and tell you that I know Drew Locke can do those things.
Joe Burrow as an NFL quarterback projects to be what?
Peyton Manning, Tom Brady.
Like that.
Yeah, Andrew Luck.
Like, you'll be surprised if it's not like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has the skill set.
He just had the greatest collegiate NFL season of all time, or college football season of all time.
Correct.
If that doesn't work in the NFL, I'm not sure what will.
What does? And how do you translate anything?
He played in high-pressure games, multiple, on the biggest stage and perform better than anybody has ever done it. Against teams loaded with NFL players.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, his passing game coordinator, Joe Brady, spent time with the New Orleans Saints, who's now the new offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. So now you have Joe operating in an NFL-type system already in college and showing as though he has a mental fortitude to actually take everything that he's learning in the classroom and take it to the field and don't even panic. Don't even blink an eye. That has to stand for something.
How about Coach Ogeron? How great is this guy? I mean, is he?
How did USC now retain?
Go Tigers! 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 Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
What a voice! Yeah, I asked to do a compare and contrast between Coach Ogeron and Farmer Fran from Waterboy. Are you ready for the presentation?
Well, you might as well throw Patrick Mahomes into this mix.
See if you can understand who you understand better, Coach Ogeron or Farmer Fran.
You know, we're going to go back to it. We got a nice week. I got Kelly and my three boys with me.
Uh-huh.
We're probably going to get a ham sandwich or maybe some boudin or something. Go to bed and wake up tomorrow and do it again.
Okay.
Stop. That was not real. That is not a real conversation. There's no way.
Swear to God. Here's a Farmer friend.
You want to down Bobby Boucher on the knee and call that wrong hallway. You're going to
think like
you want Bobby
Boucher dying. Hey, hold on. Play that again. Yeah, I think he says Coach...
All right, again, Coach Ogeron.
Hey, we may find that, but it would be good. But we just simple folks. We love our life. I love my family. My personal time with them is going to be, we don't go out. We don't do things like that.
I got
and,
you.
We represent the state of Louisiana, so we're excited.
Okay.
And we make ham sandwiches.
And Farmer Friend.
Me tug dog, yeah.
The funny part is it's close.
It is
actually close. One last one.
Hey, I'm starting to recruit. I can't wait. I'll be on the phone tonight. It's a dead period, but a Friday morning I'll be out on the road recruiting, bringing in the next great crop of players, the LSU Tigers.
This is a real marvel that this guy can be a good coach. Hey, can you imagine being in a meeting? All right, guys, we got to go with 11 personnel. I don't want you guys being a little bit so what's around now. You know, you got to bring in a little bit more time. Huh?
Well,
what do you want me to do, Coach?
Perhaps he'd be better if he was coaching like this.
Now, we're that kind of car we go to. This way, I got a boot call at my back.
You certainly could see why USC didn't think that guy fit the culture.
What are those home visits like when he starts to recruit?
Well, Louisiana is probably great.
Yeah.
And Louisiana, he's
like, we went out kind of
car,
we go
to
this way,
I
got a boot call at my back.
Where did I sign?
Yeah.
I got a catfish last night.
You say you had a catfish last night?
It's nice. It's funny. It's warm-hearted. It's everything Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend isn't.
Someone tune in and say, people
that doubted us and hated on us and thought we were gonna lose this day. Yes, I did! Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! I cannot imagine if my wife ever did that.
Sorry, I still let me tug dog yeah.
Okay.
Okay, seriously. It's frustrating when you don't have your landmark of cabin out water. The cabin out!
And we ain't backing down.
We coming.
We're coming. And we ain't backing down.
Meanwhile, you got Joe Burrow smoking a cigar.
Bring me in the down. I'll take over the down.
I guess that was some sort of issue smoking. I actually have not seen that. That's a good question. I know I've seen pictures of Michael Jordan and those guys, but that was a long time ago.
Never.
I mean, it's unbelievably politically incorrect to be like smoking in the locker room.
What did she say there?
Guess again.
You know what? When I go home tonight, I'm going to tell that to my kids. When they ask me for ice cream, I'm going to say that.
What are you going to say?
Yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes is about to say guess again. You ain't getting the ring.
That must be great to go home, too. Honey, we gonna watch the Bachelor tonight?
Yes, again!
Honey, did you make dinner? I've had a long day. I'm really.
Yes, again!
I'm feeling a little fresh tonight, honey. Feeling a little bit fresh.
You think we can be a little frisky tonight, sweetie?
Yes, again!
That really is Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend, by the way.
Oh my God.
That really is her.
That is so
not
amazing.
From a. Not from a movie or anything.
Now we wait. I got a car. We go to. Next week, I got a buku on my back.
Okay.
Buku on my back.
That has to stay on your board from now until the end of time. Oh my gosh! Every time D-Mac comes up with some conspiracy theory.
Yes, again. All right, we'll try it out. I think Pat Shurmur is really the new head coach of the Broncos. I don't know. I think I got that one right.
I think today's going to be the day that I convince the whole world why they should see things the way I see it.
Well, you know, everyone's been talking to me about expanding my horizon and going outside of my normal comfort zone. So I think I'm going to go camping sometime soon.
You know, Mike Evans does have some good ideas.
good point.
This is Mike being stupid this morning.
By the way, only guy. And let's end this argument once and for all, because I know what's going to happen. I know the D-Max of the world and the Zacks of the world, the guys that are, you know, ooh, shiny toy. Ooh, okay. Right. They're all going to be receiver, receiver, receiver. Devontae Adams.
Yeah, Mike, there is a large board printed out with all of our picks. D-Max first pick, Tristan Wirfs. D-Max second pick,
Austin
Jackson.
Hold on, stop, because I got some breaking news. Tristan Wirfs has officially entered into the NFL draft.
Whoa! There you go.
Can I change my board now?
Do you want to change your board right now?
As long as it doesn't involve your top pick.
Why?
No.
Why can I change?
No, that has to stay there.
No, it's not going to stay.
No, from now until the end of time.
So that's officially coming out right now. So, Mike, guess what? In terms of me wanting a wide receiver,
yes, I did!
So all you have to do is actually open your eyes. Tilt your head slightly. I know it's a big head, but tilt it slightly to the left, and you'll see exactly what I'm thinking about. You'll see what everybody's thinking about. You'll see that your partner wants Smart Chibuzio, who's a freshman at A&M. Now, Mike doesn't put Wirfs on his board at all because, oh, you're changing? You can't help yourself.
Hold on. Now I'm really curious about this change.
So now it's happening. Oh. Nick just got up. You're taking ATN down. What are you going to do with ATN, the running back?
ETN.
ETN, sorry. My bad.
it's really easy, Gavin, right?
Thanks.
Everybody knows what that says.
And you're putting Wirfs back at number one.
That is so confusing to me because
ETN's
Tristan Wirfs was on your board at number two, but now because he's declared for the draft, he moves up?
Yeah, exactly.
So if he hadn't declared, he wasn't...
Well, obviously, if a guy stays in school, I can't put him on the board.
You had him on the board as number two.
Because he was an option. But now that I know he's officially declared, now I can put him back up.
Help me with this logic. I just don't understand
that. That just happened. So, but are you serious in your world if it's not an offensive lineman, it's a running back?
Yes.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, listen, it doesn't make sense to you guys.
Can you please explain how Tristan Wirfs goes from number two? He was on the board even though he wasn't declared.
That's right.
But now that he's declared,
now he's number one.
Now he's number one.
Yes. There you go.
Can you explain that?
You just did.
Wait, hold on.
That makes sense.
Can you explain that?
So, Mike, Mike told me on social media that Stink doesn't like Wirfs. So, we got Wirfs 1. All three of us have Wirfs 1. Drotar has Wirfs 1. Lammy, Cecil's got Wirfs 4. James Marilat, he doesn't have Wirfs at all. Zach has Wirfs 4. Stokely has Wirfs 5. Clough, Sandy's got Wirfs 2. And Orlando doesn't have Wirfs. That's interesting. Mike doesn't have Wirfs. And Mike told me that the reason he doesn't have Wirfs is because Stink is down on Wirfs.
Okay.
Of course, Stink.
But Wirfs is nowhere on Stink's board.
No, but the Andre Dingle.
Why would we ever make our own opinions? You know? Right.
Panda Askew is up there for Mark, but now Wirfs is there. That's good to know, actually. That's actually big news for the Broncos.
Yes, it is.
That's a guy who's been projected to be all over the place in terms of the mocks. He could go anywhere. They might not have a shot at him. They might have a shot at him.
That was amazing the way that just happened, by the way. I read the news, and I was looking for a way to interrupt you to tell you the breaking news, and you brought up his name. That was amazing.
There you go. It's not my first day on the job.
We got like ESPN or something.
We do have ESPN. Maybe ESPN too.
Yeah.
So Tristan Wirfs. Okay.
I'm going to have nightmares tonight about mutiny.
Why do you like Tristan Wirfs? What is it about him?
He's got a very complete game. I am still very tempted to flip Austin Jackson to my number one guy.
Yeah.
Because I love his athleticism. But that was kind of pre-Rich Scangarello getting fired.
Mm.
Now that Rich Scangarello has been fired and we are no longer going to be locked in on this wide zone running where you're trying to play with your athleticism, beat guys from point A to point B, Tristan Wirfs is a more complete football player, and I don't see as many flaws as I do with Austin Jackson. Whereas Austin Jackson, I saw a better fit for the West Coast scheme, but he has more flaws in his game.
What, Nick, if... if the Broncos took Wirfs, where is he playing?
I'm going to put him at left tackle.
So Garrett Bowles goes to the bench. Garrett Bowles becomes a guard. Garrett Bowles is a swing guy.
But that's the great part about it, that you do have options. So if Wirfs is your left tackle, you can move, and I've said this before, move Bowles to right guard.
Right guard. Okay.
Move him right guard. And even if it doesn't work out.
Right guard was the plower. Right guard was the tank.
The least likely, the only spot if you were to try to play guard would be left, but that's solidified. I mean, look, he doesn't have a guard's body. Here's what you would ask yourself. If you draft Wirfs or any left tackle, what's more valuable to your team? Garrett Bowles or a fifth or sixth rounder? Because you can get a fifth or sixth rounder for Garrett.
To trade him.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is he more valuable as a backup tackle on your team? Because he's not, in my world, in Instinct's world, in Noe's world, he's not going to be a guard for you.
Where's Juwan James this year?
He's your starting right tackle.
You have no choice because you embedded to him financially.
But we have faith he's going to be okay.
I didn't quite say that.
I don't have that much faith.
Okay.
All right, so I see where you're going.
So maybe Wirfs your right tackle.
Or maybe that means that Garrett Bowles is too valuable to get rid of.
Right.
Right. Because you got to have two capable tackles for playing.
Correct.
Yeah.
You're kind of stuck. But I say take Wirfs anyways. Because
you have to.
The likelihood of signing Bowles back up is slim. And if you have to have 1 year where it's a little mucky, it's okay. You know, it's all right. You know, Wirfs will play at some point. Maybe, you know, Bowles gets benched. You have no idea how Juwan James' health is really going to be. And you're going to, if Wirfs is here, let's hope Wirfs, if they take him, is the new Ryan Clady, right?
That would be awesome.
And he's
best
here for
rookie right tackle, or left tackle I've ever seen in my life.
Right? So hopefully, and Ryan was a crazy athlete, big dude, unusual, all the same skills that Wirfs has.
I mean, I understand Tyler's point. If you're going to go out and get Wirfs, and you don't want to move Garrett Bowles to guard, see if you have any trade partners. But the one thing that this team has lacked for years is depth. So you keep him around for another year because just consider it a one-year rental. Because we know the Broncos are not going to pick up that fifth-year option.
I would still do it. Even if, it still makes more sense to me than a wide receiver. And there's a lot of talented guys, but I just look at the second round, third round. You're going to find other talented dudes out there. Okay, bummer. You didn't get, CeeDee Lamb. Okay. All right. You didn't get Henry Ruggs III. You didn't get Laviska Shenault. There's still so much depth there. It doesn't mean you're going to ignore the position. Meanwhile, you're going to have an offensive lineman for the next decade. And I am amazed. I'm amazed. Like Mike Evans has Javon Kinlaw, who's a great player.
That was one of your guys at one point.
But his second guy is Austin Jackson. So all we did all year was complain about the offensive line. All we've talked about is how important the offensive line is. And you come out and you've got a defensive tackle? I mean, give me a break. And you've got an offensive lineman too? Like that's your second guy? I mean, how out of touch are you, Mike? Ooh. At least Orlando's got an offensive lineman. Sandy's got a wide receiver, and then he has Wirfs. Well, I mean, same issue, though. Like, are you really okay with Garrett Bowles and Juwan James?
No.
You thought D-Mac respected Mike Evans?
No.
Well, guess, you know.
Oh, come on!
I mean, you know, Zach, I love our guy Zach.
Where were you?
You know, what can we do without Zach? But he's got CeeDee Lamb, then another wide receiver, and the third guy is an offensive lineman. Worse, he's got number four. Listen, I think we're going to see, never mind Marilyn, I can't even go into what he's got going on. And Cecil has a wide receiver. Cecil's really banging the table for a wide receiver.
What do you mean? He's only got one on there.
No, but we just had him on, and he was talking about wide receiver again, and you know, this whole wide receiver thing.
He's got a guy on the board that decided he's going back to school. Cecil needs the update. Oh, is that right? Creed Humphrey, he's going back to school.
Okay.
You have to take an offensive lineman if they're there, because the idea of trying to get one in free agency, to me, you're either getting damaged goods, you know, and you don't want to go in that direction.
I'm going to change my board tomorrow because I got two wide receivers up there, and I'm just...
It's
I'm
okay,
gonna,
dude.
I'm going to put my foot down the best way to go is with the offensive line, period. And there's enough guys that'll be available.
Oh, that's silly. That's just silly. I mean, you can't just lock in on O-line. There's not going to be five guys worthy of drafting at number 15 on the O-line.
It's going to be – I'll leave Justin Herbert up there because, I want to be interesting.
Okay.
Got to get your cornerstone guys.
I'm going to –
Because I got to come up with the conspiracy that – yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just put it out there with your new head coach, Pat Shurmur. Oh, I got the official press release today.
Oh.
Here's what Vic Fangio had Patrick Smythe write. I mean, here's what he said about Pat Shurmur. Pat is an established play caller with significant experience leading an offense as both a coordinator and head coach. Having coached against Pat, that's the only where they've crossed, coaching against each other, which is good. Having coached against Pat for a number of years, he's always impressed me. His track record of developing younger players is outstanding. Pat brings a collaborative approach to working with the staff
Collaborative.
Yeah. Collaborative. That means he's not going to try to run me over.
Why did they have to emphasize that?
I don't know.
Why did they have to emphasize
translation, my guy.
No, that means he's not here to be the head coach.
He's not here to be a problem, guys.
Right. A collaborative approach. What does that say about Scangarello, by the way?
Ooh. They didn't like him.
A collaborative approach to working with the staff, as well as flexibility to adjust the offense to our players and opponents. Oh, they are piling
on. Wow, they are rich. Seriously.
Well, they are piling on Scangarello. We're excited to add someone of his caliber to our coaching staff. Wow, so they're saying Scangarello wasn't working with the staff.
Unwilling to adjust to personnel.
Wasn't flexible. Wasn't listening. Wow, they just snowplowed Scangarello on the way out the door.
It was my decision to go for the Hail Mary pass. I just want to let you know, D-Mac.
Man, they hated him. He was gone. This wasn't for sure. You guys could see that, right? I mean, were we on the same page there?
Yes.
Scangarello was toast. History.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, speaking of toast, when we come back, nothing with bread. But the national championship game, well, that provided some interesting insights. We'll get into it next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe. including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Nick, and Tyler.
Well, fellas, it's always fun when I hear Mike Evans and Mark Schlereth quibbling at each other because it makes me realize we're not the only ones. But it was an interesting debate they were having, continuity versus talent. And I think, you know, the line really is probably somewhere in the middle, right? Like, you can't do anything without the players, right? I mean, period.
True.
But there's something to be said for not having to repeat things or start from scratch. There's something to be said for starting at one point and then moving further up the line. Like, I've told everybody, this might be more simplistic, but I know I can teach anybody how to ski. Anybody. If they were to give me 3 straight days in a row. Not 1 day and then 2 months later another day and then 3 months later another day. If you gave me 3 days in a row, I know I could teach anybody how to ski.
That's how I feel about special teams.
Okay. But my philosophy with that is every day builds on the other day, and there's certain muscle memory things that just come back quicker. And so, in fact, sometimes if you just give it a little bit of a rest and then come back to something, you're going to improve much more. How do you guys feel about that?
Oh, dude, Mark is 100% on point, 100%. If you think about what goes into installing a new offense, I mean, all offseason, yeah, teaching them the language, all offseason, teaching them the fundamentals. You finally get to training camp and you start over, okay? Right. You go back to the very fundamentals on day one. You install the most basic pillars of your offense. Then by the time you get to the end of training camp in year one, you're just feeling to yourself as a play caller, man, I hope I'm able to call 70% of what I want to call this year.
Right.
You get through the season and now the teaching time is really over. Now you're studying opponents. It's year two and year three in which you really have the capability to pick things up and really expand on things. So, look, man, starting over is hard. It's flat out just hard.
And here's one of my things for life, too. Sometimes you have to learn what not to do. And the only way to learn what not to do is kind of going through the experience like, oh,
that's right.
Yep. Don't have to do that.
Your landmark's too wide, man. You got to tighten it up. Tighten it up.
Won't have to worry. Doesn't need that. But it's hard to know those things until you go through them so you can throw them away.
Yeah. And think about it. I mean, a lot of us have these communicative devices. I mean, and Steve Jobs came up with the iPhone. Before we have this version that we have now, and you guys may have, you know, what is it, i10 Plus, whatever it is, he had to make a couple of failures first.
There was always, I always say, there was iPhone 4 before there was iPhone 10.
Yeah.
That's what my argument was with the virtual reality. It's like, oh, it's not good enough.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I get it. It's like all technology. It's going to get better. But at least you have something to start with.
Well, yeah, just like technology, it evolves, and so does a game plan. But if you continue to change, it makes it difficult for players, even veteran players. I mean, Tyler, you played with Peyton Manning, who came from a system with the Colts, and Tom Moore, who had to have to learn the Gary Kubiak system that he had trouble with. So they had to kind of merge the two systems and make Peyton Manning comfortable in the offense. It's the same thing right now with Pat Shurmur coming into this building. I mean, right now, Drew Lock or any of these players, they're not familiar with the system. They're not familiar with the verbiage, and it's going to be very difficult.
I see it as a step back. So my prediction right now for the Broncos, because I had them 9-6 going into that last game, and then
are you changing now?
I am. I'll go 7-9 now.
That's a big switch. I think that's a big switch.
7-9 team, and we'll see. But 7-9 to me is because you took a step back. However, you could go from 7-9. To 14-2, to 13-3. You can go from 7-9 to winning a championship if you have continuity if you just stay with it.
So the pillars of any offense, you know, that gets you in a game. That gets you competitive in a game. And you can win a lot of games with the foundational plays in any given offense. But that's only going to take you so far. You know, when you really excel, it's when you can manipulate the formations. It's when you start to get, running back in
what's
the backfield.
What's the little stuff?
And, yeah, what's the little stuff, right? When you take the offense to the next level, and it's not like new wrinkles, but it's literally just expanding on the stuff that you're doing. You know, foundational stuff that makes you competitive, and it is the most important part of any given offense. But, man, you got to take it to the next level. You got to do what Kyle Shanahan has done with the West Coast offense. That's to a new level. It's a new evolution of West Coast offense.
Yeah, the concept of just put some great players out there. We've seen it tried. Look at the Redskins in years past. Look at all these teams that just try to build these uber all-star teams and expect it to happen like that.
Right.
Just doesn't work like
no,
that.
No, it doesn't work that way because the consistency and the continuity that we're talking about now, it's like looking at the past five games with the Denver Broncos and Drew Locke went 4-1. It's like, you know, they were on their master's degree at that point. Now, with the new offensive coordinator, we've gone back to, you know, daycare.
Yeah, by the way, if Scangarello just stuck around, I would expect them to be 9-6 going in the last game with a chance to be 10-6 or 9-7. I'm not saying this is a criticism because I think if you were to say, do we want a guy who's never had any experience doing this or a guy who's more suited to Drew Locke who has a ton of experience, if it was just even like that, I would say you'd go with the experience
guy. Yeah, but that's not what it is. You know, it is fair to criticize it because this is the next year. And look, I've heard a lot of people say if you hire a coach, you got to give him 3 years. I think 3 years is too long, but you dang sure better give him two. You dang sure better give him two. If you're not going to give the guy 2 years, why'd you hire him? Seriously, why'd you hire him?
I go more with the three-year thing, too.
Well, I think 2 years is a big enough sample size to just say, man, do you just suck? Like, are you bad? If you're just really bad
I guess you
after
can be
2 years,
awful.
You can move on.
I guess after 2 years, you can tell if they're awful, if it's terrible.
Yeah, but if it's, like, going in the right direction, if the arrow's going up, don't you want to just kind of see if the arrow continues to go up?
Yeah, of course. I think of Coach Mack at CU, old Coach Mack.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at his first years at CU, it
like
was
two wins.
Terrible. Yeah. But boy, once everything clicked in and you gave it some time, off you go. Now, what's funny is the opposite can happen, too. Sometimes a guy and systems are just old and it doesn't work anymore and you got to shake it up. That happens as well.
But there's a reason why, you know, you give the coach, you know, 3 years, because at that third year point, you're starting to show the turnover because the guy who was in place before you, your predecessor, he had, you know, guys in the skill position and offensive line in place that can only run his system. So now, by the time that you reach your third year, you have your guys and you're grooved in. That continuity is there because everyone knows exactly what they need to do.
You know, there is a Patriot way, but there's also like a Pete Carroll way that works. There was a Mike Shanahan way that works. He just got with Daniel Snyder.
So what's the Denver Broncos way? What is that?
Well, I think it's going to be about Pat. I think the Denver Broncos way is going to be about Pat Shurmur.
Is it though? Because Pat Shurmur, his goal isn't to be an offensive coordinator the rest of his life. I mean, seriously.
No, that's right.
Seriously, think about that. Like,
if it works out, he's gone.
He's gone. Yeah. He's going back to be a head coach the second he can. So, I mean, if things go amazing, you've got a 2-year horizon with him.
Yeah, but that's the, you know,
that's not a bad thing.
Those are the dice you got to roll.
That's not a bad thing, but it's just not a long term plan. Is my only point.
I don't think anything about. I think what we have now is a solid 2-year plan. I think Shurmur for 2 years. Fangio for 2 more years, Elway with 2 years on his contract, Joe Ellis. I think it all makes sense for 2 years. After 2 years, I have no idea what's going to happen here. But I think the Broncos can do it. I think they're headed in the right direction, but they're going to have at least some amount of continuity. It's not just all about the players, Mike. And, you know, for Mark, you know, Mark, of course, knows that you have to have good players. I mean, duh. It's just another instance of Mike Evans being wrong. You know, that's kind of the bottom line.
You couldn't wait to say that about Mike.
Well, when Mike is accusing me, for example, of wanting, like, a wide receiver, accusing me of wanting a wide receiver.
The shiny new toy.
All you have to do, Mike, is look 4 feet to your left, where you have a gargantuan chart of what everybody wants. And then he goes to me on social media, well, you know, Mark doesn't think worse is all that great. Okay, well, why don't you take down your 5 high school kids and put it up there so we know what you think? And if Mark doesn't think worse is great, okay. You know, I mean, he had to be...
He's thinking about going back to school.
All right, well, we got plenty to talk about. When we come back, though, the latest on...
Like Brian and Mark.
Like the latest on Broncos news, Nikki Jabal of The Athletic joins us.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Man, Nick, and Tyler.
One of our Broncos insiders, the great Nikki Jabal of The Athletic. Nikki, did you see this coming with Scangarello and Pat Shurmur?
I was a little surprised, to be honest. I know things weren't perfect behind the scenes between them, and you could see that throughout the season. But, you know, at the end-of-year press conference, Vic said he expected to keep all of his coordinators, and he spoke of the trust between Drew Locke and Rich Scangarello. So, you know, 2 weeks later when he decides to fire him, it was a bit surprising to me.
What was the final straw? What did it really come down to?
I think just generally philosophical differences on the offense and where it should go, where each of them wanted it to go. I think Vic wanted, you know, a more aggressive offense, one more willing to take shots down the field. And you could, I mean, we all saw that during the season as, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, Joe Flacco, they both called out the play calling. And then there was that incident after the Chargers game where kind of felt like Vic threw Rich under the bus with the decision there in the headset. And I still don't know, you know, what the true story there is, but it was clear there's just some disagreement from all sides on the play calling. So
what's your true feelings about whether Pat Shurmur can actually turn this offense around and improve it?
Yeah, that's a $1 million question, right? I mean, he's obviously experienced as a play caller with 2017 in Minnesota, that being his finest year when they went 13-3 and, you know, turned Case Keenum into a guy even the Broncos thought could be a viable starter. But I think it's imperative that they have all the key pieces. I mean, that year he was very successful in large part because they revamped the line. They had the league's top receiving core. They had one of the best run games. And he had a quarterback in Case Keenum who was, you know, not, you know, great, but he was mobile. He could escape danger. And I think the Broncos have a lot of those pieces, but it's going to take some time to kind of get to that level. So hopefully, yeah, he can improve the offense. My only concern is you have the youngest offense in the league and you're changing the system yet again. Every year there's been a system change. So hopefully, you know, these guys can adapt quickly and it doesn't hinder their development at all.
What other changes could you see Shurmur making?
Possibly a quarterback's coach. TC McCartney is still under contract, but you know, Mike Shula's status in New York looks like it's pretty much over. They hired a new quarterback's coach there, so I'm curious if Shurmur tries to bring him over. Shula spent a lot of time with Drew Locke ahead of the 2019 draft. He was the one that was there at his pro day in Missouri. So it might make some sense there, but we'll see. Nothing is official yet. I think these next few days are kind of critical as he determines what he wants to do with the staff.
Can the Broncos afford financially to clear house on the entire offensive staff if Pat Shurmur wanted to bring in every one of his own guys?
Yeah, but I don't think that's the plan at all. I mean, I know for one, Mike Munchak is staying. Zach Azani, last I heard, he was pretty safe. Modkins, they seem to like. I think it really comes down to that quarterback's coach. I don't think they're looking to overhaul the entire offensive staff. I mean, things could change, obviously, between, you know, now and whenever. But, yeah, I mean, it's to keep changing staffs undoubtedly is costly. They could find a way to make it work, sure, but, you know, it is a lot of money, and I don't think that's in the plans.
What do you have to do to get your dog Joey to actually stare and watch college football?
That was voluntary. That's the longest he sat still in
the fire
his
helped.
Entire life.
The fire helped. It was easy.
You like that little
it was easy
mood
on the eyes.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful mantle, by the way.
Thanks, I redid
great,
it.
Great. Did you do it yourself? Nice brickwork.
God, no. Of course not.
Yeah?
No, I can. No.
Your dog seemed transfixed. He just couldn't take his eyes.
He loves himself a good football game. That's
maybe
my boy.
He thought Trevor Lawrence was a dog, and he was attracted to the hair.
Is Pat Shurmur a foreign? Is he a foreign spy here to replace Vic Fangio?
With, I don't think so. Last I heard, and I know people have brought up Kyle Shurmur too. Being on the practice squad in Kansas City, I don't think he's, as far as I know, I don't think he's sending back secrets to Kansas City.
I'm just wondering. I don't know if you're in the show, but D-Mac's got something radical going on today.
Oh, I think that Vic Fangio and John Elway have both taken a back seat. I think Pat Shurmur is going to be basically running the Denver Broncos.
Mm.
I think he's going to be running the offense for sure. I mean, that was one of the appeals to him is he could have
power,
you know,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you have a defensive head coach. He could have pretty much complete purview over.
And if he's going to do that, why wouldn't you let him make some decisions with personnel and bring his guys in? And if you're going to do that, why wouldn't you let him hire four or five guys?
Why stop there?
Why wouldn't you just go ahead and lead the mutiny and, replace him?
Why don't you just have Vic Fangio coach the defense from where he did it the best?
Fire Fangio today, actually. Hey, there you go.
Let me ask you.
This escalated quickly.
I know. Is it an NFL rule that a head coach has to be on the sideline?
Yes, thank you, Joey.
There you go. That's a good. A head coach or a coordinator?
Head coach.
I don't know the answer to that, honestly. I've never heard of one not being on the sideline. Have you?
I haven't, but I didn't know if it was an NFL rule or not. Fangio is certainly more comfortable up there. The optics would be horrible, though, so I'm sure it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't. He's not going to move back.
All right. All right. Thanks,
Joey.
Nikki.
See ghosts.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Joey.
You bet.
We appreciate it.
Have a good one.
All right. Good stuff. We appreciate Nikki Javala of The Athletic. Cecil's on the road. He's at the Shrine game. So John Davis comes up next on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.